Welcome to the Hour of Lateral Thinking, heard weekly from New York City. I'm Janet Coleman.
I'm David Dozer.
The displaced playwright. As always, we will be joined by Chris Cerf, co-author with Henry Beard of Spinglish and Encyclopedia Paranoica, and on his own, A Skunk in My Bunk, compulsive writer and songsmith David Finkel, Maggie Paley, author of More Than Just the Book of the Penis, and audio engineer and musical perpetrator Bob Auld to discuss feuds. Feuds. How do you spell feuds? It's not the easiest word to spell, and we could argue over it.
Really? It's hard?
I think so. I always write F-U-E-D.
No.
It's wrong. It's F-E-U-D. And my family did that practice.
Well, my cousin, when I was asked in school to describe in music class a fugue, and he said it was when cowboys on the range fight with each other. So...
Who's that, a cousin, a stupid cousin?
That was cousin?
Cousin
Dickie. He wasn't stupid. He was, he'd heard of a feud, not a fugue. That's all.
Few fugues.
Yeah.
Should be country singers fighting with each other to be a fugue.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, a feud's the real thing, not the fugue thing, is was a habit of my very large family. Hmm. Or maybe it was just my mother. How would I know whether the other brothers and sisters were not talking to each other? But my mother had a feud with her, I guess it was an ongoing feud with her father, the Gumball, with her brother, the Gumball King. And she was, I mean, he thought she was a red, should be blacklisted. And she thought he was a capitalist who should be blacklisted, should be turned off, turned away. And, she had another one, a sister, who, well, I think they didn't speak for about 4.5 years, although as children, they slept in the same bed. I think I should probably hold this back, but I think with both of them, with their mother and occasionally their father. Anyway, there were 7 of them. There were a lot of them. So
it's a big bed, I hope.
A big bed. And I think I've mentioned that I once actually had a feud with my own mother that lasted over a year. So a feud, I think maybe we need some descriptions of what a feud really entails. David, what do you think of it? And there's no feuding going on.
No, I think my cousin was right. It was a
happy face in
your
family.
The cattle ranchers fight with the sheep herders because the sheep treat the grass differently than the cattle do. And they destroy the range, in the cattleman's opinion, and they feud with each other and they use guns, and it's like a war. And you could call it a range war. But that was like I think my cousin was right. It's like a cowboy kind of thing. But then, of course, people in families, because they're so close, they hate each other. So then they just establish these barricades. Because I just Aunt Mildred, and for instance, was angry at her Aunt Marguerite because she kept butting into, she butted into everybody's life because she was, that's what she was. And so some people would have nothing to do with her. And so it was,
who, Marguerite?
Yeah, Marguerite. I found her amusing, but by the time I got to her, I just found her funny. The rest of the adults didn't like her. Because she was my grandmother's sister. That's one of my grandmother's
sisters. So you were stuck with her, but now you're aunts.
Well, yeah, but I still found her amusing because she never picked on me.
So the aunt,
she would argue with me.
So the aunt that didn't like her moved all the way to Hawaii and left your aunt in Pittsburgh.
Not because, yeah, she did move to Hawaii.
Wow.
And then they didn't.
Little known fact about this feud.
Yeah. Well, it's not, okay.
So she never
has
did she
very
never,
nothing to do with it. It's
she
the
never
fact that they were separated, but that was because of Worthington Pump sent my uncle to Hawaii, so he could be there for Pearl Harbor, which he was.
Oh, well, there's a little that. So that had nothing to do with
that's
the feud
a big
between
feud,
them.
Isn't it?
Yeah, he was there to witness an even bigger feud than Aunt Marguerite.
Do we call those things between countries feuds? What?
No, not usually.
Feuds?
A little bit. I mean, I don't know.
A feud is a larger war than a feud. I mean, a war is a larger.
Yeah.
Who is Worthington Pump?
Well, they made pumps, you know, and their name was Worthington. I don't know. They made,
It was a company. It was a company.
Yes.
I thought that was somebody's name.
But
it's a great name.
Oh, yeah.
It is a great name.
Yeah. We probably with 2 P's on the end, right?
Yes.
Pump.
T. Worthington Pump III.
Should be in a play.
Exactly.
Yes, put them in that play. All right. Play about feuding. Well, of course, the actual Worthington Fump would have to be in a feud with Worthington Pump. So does anybody have any of this family feuding that they're familiar with, or just other types of feuds? You know, where there are some kind of rules of engagement, don't invite these two people to the same dinner party.
Well, there's my parents.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you go on, Pat Maggie? We want to hear more about that.
Yeah, more.
Well, when they were fighting, you didn't want to invite them together. When they were lovey-dovey with each other, then you could have them together.
Did you always know which it was going to be when you invited them?
No.
And what about their circle of friends? How did they navigate that? They mostly asked your father, I believe.
Yes, exactly. They asked my father.
He was the wittier of the two. Most entertaining.
Exactly.
Yeah. So then when they got married again, whenever they did that from time to time, they'd both be invited. That's the answer, right?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
So did you ever feud with anybody? Have, you know, where you just don't talk to your best friend or something for years and years?
I don't remember doing that.
I'm trying to think if I do. Oh, yes, I had a feud with a friend, my best friend, actually. We were three best friends. And one best friend betrayed us. She turned us in to the school. I guess you called her the...
Told her mother about something.
We showed... One friend had a pack of dirty cards, a French deck it was called, with people performing really the lewdest sexual acts we had ever seen in black and white photography. And we went out to the Sheep's Head Bay lots, which were all full of, like, we called them the lots. And what they were was empty remains of, actually in this case, the Sheep's Head Bay racetrack. And we went out there where no one was, and we looked at these cards, and we were, you know, couldn't get over it. The third friend goes home and tells her mother about it. And before you know it, we are called, that's Sheila and I, are called before the, like they had a counselor, what do they call those people?
Guidance counselor.
A guidance counselor. We're called before the guidance counselor to, I don't know, recant or do something. There was some punishment involved. And when...
No, you had to be reformed.
We had to be reformed, but obviously...
Go to reform school.
Was in school.
We were about 12 years old, you know. I mean, what was there to do with us? Kick us out?
Yes.
I'm dead. I'm sorry. Where am I? Oh, I'm sorry.
Why?
Because I can't see
it. You were in the lots in Brooklyn.
Oh, I was in the
lots. Looking at dirty cards.
I was looking at dirty cards.
And the school had to reprimand you for this for some reason.
And they
reprimanded. Why? Well, this didn't happen in school. Why were they? What?
Well,
what
you're
did
right
they
about that.
It?
Well, that's. That
we
was,
have to relitigate this case.
That was our argument.
I think it's time.
Yeah,
I think so.
I'm ready.
But actually,
get Mayor Adams on the phone. He's got nothing to do.
The friend who turned us in. Of course, we couldn't talk to her. It was sort of at the height of the blacklist too, and you know, where older people were getting called in before committees. Here we are called in before a guidance counselor to recant, and we didn't want to do that. Well, we learned a lot.
Did
from
Did they
those
confiscate
cards.
This deck?
No. As a matter of fact, they didn't even get that
Where is
far.
You still have it?
Let's have it as a
no,
souvenir.
No, I don't. Maybe Sheila has it. It would be good, but maybe the
I'd
guide...
love to go out to New Lots Avenue or something and take a look.
We should, you know. I think it's probably under Sheepshead Bay High School now. That's what they built over that lot. Anyway, I think the guidance counselor had probably already seen a French deck in her day. But the point is, for the next, I don't know, might have been 30 years, we never had anything to do with a third friend.
Who turned you in, yeah.
Who turned us in. How could you?
Her mother turned you in, but nevertheless.
But nevertheless, somehow she
shouldn't have told her mother? Would that be, did you tell your mother?
It was a foolish thing to do.
What, tell your mother or what?
Yeah, well, her mother.
Well, I know her mother.
Our mothers were okay with the whole thing.
Oh, they heard about it first?
Well, they didn't want to tell us what a French deck or have one in their own sort of underwear drawer. So they let it go.
Well, I don't think women usually had these French decks.
Women?
Yeah, well, I thought it was like more like men had them.
I think it was somebody's father. Sheila acquired them from some other friend whose father had the French deck in his underwear drawer.
Of course.
So, anyway, that's it.
What made you start talking to your friend again, or did you?
Well,
after 30 years?
She was our best friend. She showed up. And I think I had written some piece from New York Magazine, and suddenly she was there. And she said, "Can I come up?" And she came up, and she pulled up her dress, which we were still wearing in those days. And she was wearing men's underwear. I don't know.
Why was that?
I don't know. I couldn't answer it. It was just one of the fabulous eccentricities of this
person. Was
that
a gesture of asking for forgiveness to pull up your dress and show your underwear?
Yeah, of understanding. A gesture of to understand me. How about that, I think. But anyway, we sort of, every so often, keep in touch. But this was a girl. She was very great, too. Very funny person, as you might imagine. Great. Illustrator. Anyway, that was my feud. Who's what? Let me turn to someone else who had a big feuding friendship. Dave Finkel, did you?
Well, let me say that I first loved to the first time I really started to love music was when I first heard the Bach fugues, because I was wait a minute. Oh, this is not fugues. We're not talking about fugues. We're talking about fugues.
Well, up and on we are.
Oh, fugues.
Okay.
I don't recall.
Are you across
ever
purposes
having,
here?
I don't recall. Well, that's fugue.
That's
life,
a feud.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
A
this
feud
is like
fugue.
A fugue.
We're having a feud fugue right here.
Right now. I'll talk at once.
I don't remember actually ever having a real knockdown, drag out feud with anybody. I've had disagreements with people, but. And it may be because I'm so, I tend to be non-confrontational. So I avoid fumes, I suppose. I'm aware of, you know, celebrity feuds are
yes.
And you know, what suddenly comes to mind is sports feuds. Or there were always feuds between, did you like Willie Mays or did you like Mickey Mantle? That was a big feud. You had to like one or the other.
Or Duke Snider, too.
Yeah, oh, what about Snider. That? Yes.
Three-way fight.
A three-way feud.
You see, he left out Duke Snider. What do you think about that?
I am going to feud with him about that. I'm furious.
Oh, really? I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry I didn't leave. I left him out, and I never will again leave him out. But then, you know, there was always the feud between people who you either loved Bing Crosby or Frank Sinatra. You couldn't love both, which
couldn't
I did.
Love both.
But you know, those people, there was always those kind of famous feuds and famous people feuding also. Who were some famous people who feuded?
Well, didn't Jack Benny and Fred Allen have this pretend feud where they supposedly...
Well, they were friends, though.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, but I'm assuming they pretended to feud.
But their characters were feuding.
Yeah, right, their radio characters.
And it was a good idea because you would hear this sort of overlap. And it was a private joke the whole audience was in on.
Hmm.
So it sort of worked.
Yeah.
Because in real life, Jack Benny wasn't really stingy and Fred Allen...
Right.
Did have bags under his
eyes. Yes, he did.
So you could call those fun feuds.
Yeah.
Maybe it would
promotional be, maybe, kind of.
And where do you think things like Muhammad Ali and Sonny Liston come in? Or George Foreman would be a better example.
Yeah.
Because that was a feud that was very smart.
That was a rumble.
Box office.
A rumble. Yeah.
It was, but wasn't
I think eventually George Foreman ended up not liking it very much.
No, he didn't. Somebody
I guess I fell for it. I was under the impression they did feud. And
I think they eventually did, yeah.
They eventually feuded, or maybe they eventually, made up?
The second eventually they kind of made up.
Well...
But at first, Muhammad Ali just thought it was a cool act, I think. But it finally got totally under Foreman's
skin. What about the Johnny Carson Joan Rivers feud? I think they were.
Whoa, that was a feud.
That was real, right?
Yeah, yeah. That was a real
I
feud.
I think that was absolutely real, yeah.
Yeah, when
I
she
don't
took
think
her,
that. Yeah, she was unwitting about it. Go ahead, tell what she did wrong.
What she did wrong was he felt that he'd given her so much airtime and to some extent, not discovered her, but made her much bigger. When she left to take a competing late night show, he was really miffed. And she never dropped the subject that he should have been so angry at her. So she kind of feuded back. I don't know how directly
to him. Who died first?
Johnny Carson.
Johnny died first. So, yeah. So did they never made up either, did they?
I don't think they did.
They have to resolve this in the afterlife.
Maybe they have resolved it.
It's a show business that goes on forever, eternity.
Show business goes
that
on?
That one will. He's offended. Johnny Carson, he's offended now. He's dead. He's still offended.
Well, I'm offended by him.
Well, not
my favorite.
Of course,
the classic dictionary definition of a feud is between families.
It is?
Well, long-standing.
Show business.
Well,
like
that's probably the first definition, but
it's,
I think it's a broader term than that. Now,
and, of
it?
Course, as is my custom, I'm introducing a song which is about that sort of thing.
We want feud fight about
never
that.
Would have guessed.
Beyond the busy highway, beyond the city strife, we highly treasure and take great pleasure in our plain way of life. Feud, a fussin' and a fightin', sometimes it gets to be exciting. Don't like them ornery neighbors down by the creek, we'll be plumb out of neighbors next week. Grandma, poor old grandma, why'd they have to shoot poor grandma? She lies neath the clover, someone caught her bending over, picking up a daisy. Feud, a fussin' and a fightin', this is a wrong that needs a rightin'. Let's get that funeral service over, so then we'll go feud and fightin' again. Fightin', a feudin', and a fussin', that's all that's going on with us. And we are such neighborly people, peaceful and sweet, all except when we happen to meet. Daughter, baby daughter, poisoned all the neighbors' chickens. Daughter, shouldn't daughter, least though she could run like the dickens. They hit her with a shovel. Feud, a fightin' and a fussin', no use of standing here a cussin'. Let's give our daughter a pistol now that she's four, and go feud and fightin' some more. Fightin', a fussin' and a feudin', why did that sheriff keep intrudin'? He was a curious critter, yup, he was swell. It's a shame he was pushed down the well. Water, the well water, the doggone stuff don't taste like it ought to. Look here, city slicker, that's why we all drink corn liquor. It's better with your shoes off, you a fussin' and fightin'. This ain't no corner you can brighten. Polish the shooting iron, mo, I'm getting a yen to go feudin', a fussin', a feudin', and a fussin' again.
You may may have guessed the title of that song, Feudin', Fussin', and Fightin', sung by someone who was called the Park Avenue Hillbilly, Dorothy Shay. Now, this song was written by two people, or is credited as having been written by two people. David Finkel, you know the name of both, right?
I do.
Reveal them.
But Al Dubin and Burton Lane, wasn't it? Isn't it?
Yeah.
Al Dubin?
Yes, but supposedly Burton Lane wrote the lyrics and music for this song for Broadway, but Al Dubin might only have, I mean, I think there was a lot of ASCAP argument over this. Did Al Dubin really write the lyrics, or did he just write the title of the song, which is the best thing about it, the most memorable thing about it? We think that was a feud?
I don't know whether it was a feud or not, but what I do know is that Al Dubin has quite a list of, mostly with Harry Warren, of writing songs for, mostly for Hollywood, for Warner Brothers, Gold Diggers and things like that. I mean, if you look at his list of songs, you fall over. But and Burton Lane, I don't know how often he's ever credited with a lyric, but he certainly, right, that doesn't mean he couldn't have written this one. It is kind of funny. It's very funny. Getting around to grandma, poor old grandma, and daughter, baby daughter, and all that, those verses. And of course,
daughter in order. There's nothing wrong with that one.
No, and so water in order.
So who deserves the credit?
Order in. Well, I would say if you supply. What was it? Was there a big feud over the lyric for "It's Only a Paper Moon"? That I think.
I hope not. I thought that was Yip Harbor.
Yip Harbor wrote the lyric, but. Billy Rose, apparently Billy Rose gets credit for the song, but I think he only supplied the title. And then again, and I don't think they ever feuded.
It's a good title. It is a good title. Except it's the first line of the song.
Easy to title.
I think so. I think Billy Rose crammed himself in there because he could.
He certainly could. And what did Sophie Wimmerschmidt write with Johnny Mercer? And Tony Bennett.
Ooh, that's a
recorded
Rags
it.
To
it was
Riches?
A big hit.
No.
Much
Sophie
later.
Wimmerschmidt. What
Sophie
else did
Wimmerschmidt?
She write?
I think she sent Johnny Mercer a lyric. God, why can't I think of the song title? It'll come to me eventually, as most things do, except money. But she sent him a little lyric, and he really built it into something. The rest of you talk while I think of this title.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. So it's fairly commonplace, though, for the guy who's making the recording or for some other guy who had not much at all to do with the song to add his name into the royalty list, right? Isn't that?
Or the producer of a movie or a television show often does.
Exactly. That. Any of yours, were people that hogged their way in there, Chris?
Absolutely, though I'm not going to name them.
Yeah, okay. Don't, or you'll start a feud.
They won't hire me again.
That's right. Exactly. You're
happy to have some of a song that earns royalties, you know.
Right.
And Sesame Street never did that.
They were honest.
I need to make that clear, because that's where most of my songs.
What's the song that has? I want to applaud in a back row seat. I want to be applauding in a back row seat when you get yours.
You get yours. Oh, I know this one too. I'll be around.
I want to be around. I want to be around to pick up the pieces.
That's it.
That's a good song to have a feud over, isn't it?
It's a great song, isn't it?
Well, it's a song that's already about people angry at each other.
That's right. Right. Ha ha. Right. That's revenge, actually.
And it's such a great, it's a wonderful revenge.
It's a beautiful song, yes.
Song.
So
there are actually a lot of interesting feuds about plagiarism in songs.
Like the one with George Harrison. And I mean, can you imagine how many blues singers wish they could afford a lawyer to sue the person who stole their...
Robert Johnson probably has a little money coming to him.
I would say.
What's the George Harrison thing?
Oh, he wrote that song, My Sweet Lord.
Oh, yeah?
My Sweet Harry Christmas.
He's my kind of guy.
Kind of, yeah, My is Sweet that, Lord.
That's the one that was stolen.
my kind of guy.
Yeah.
He's a sweet talking guy. What's the name of that song?
No.
But
that's the guy who took George Harrison to court, though, right?
Well, yeah. Well, that was the song that...
The Sweet Talking.
My Sweet Lord sounds exactly like.
Right.
There's another example with Leonard Cohen, Famous Blue Raincoat, which is one of the great songs I think he wrote. Leo Sayer's record, what was the song that he wrote? He had a huge hit, Leo Sayer.
He had a few huge hits, and I can't remember... the title of any of them.
But that it's note for note the same. Oh. But in the lawsuit, Leo Sayers, the composer of that song, took the position that Leonard Cohen had stolen the song originally in the first place, so that he didn't owe him any money.
Well, there was,
Leonard
there,
Cohen didn't even want to testify. Yeah.
There was
When
also...
I Need You, wasn't that? When I Need You was, I think, the Leo Sayers song. Anyway.
Well, what about Hello Dolly and Jerry Herman?
Oh, I didn't know that.
He was sued by.
I think
it was for the first three or four measures. It was almost exactly the same. Or it was exactly the same chord changes from another song, I think, by Mac David. And Jerry Herman settled. It settled the case. I don't know how feudy it got, but the case was settled for $250,000.
I'm curious about chord changes, though, David, because if you could sue over chord changes, there'd be thousands of songs.
You'd think, but in that case,
every blues song could be sued.
Charlie Parker would not have a single composition.
That's true. That's true enough. But with Hello Dolly, which was at the top of the charts, they made a big fuss. And a big fussing and a feuding. It was fussing. I don't know if it was feuding or not.
It was fussy. Anything that involves a lawsuit, I think, involves a feud, doesn't it? So, I mean, you're
on
the other side of the table there.
Certainly, and I would say definitely in every civil case. What is Judge Judy? What is Judge Judy doing every day?
She's settling feuds. That's right. That's right. Judge Judy, expert of feuds. Well, what about, songwriters, that's pretty popular type of feuding. Stole a song from me or you. You're the songwriters. But authors often have feuds. Remember the famous feud between Mary McCarthy and Lillian Hellman? That was...
No.
No? It was started by Mary McCarthy. And I don't know if I'm exactly accurate about this, but I think Lillian Hellman had just published... what was that
Pentimento.
Book about?
Pentimento.
Was it Pentimento? Yeah, I guess so.
I think so,
and
yeah.
Was that her recollection? Yes, it was her memories of whatever, her past. And I guess Mary McCarthy got a chance to review it, but I think she also got a chance to discuss it on the Dick Cavett show where she was a guest.
I think she definitely had a chance and did discuss it on the
Dick
Cavett
show. And she did. She basically said that Lillian Hellman never said a true word in her life, including and the. And Lillian Hellman sued her, and I think it was for $1 million, which was about a lot more than that now, obviously. And I don't know how.
She've had a case that and the were not wise when she said them.
I think that's a made, I think it's
a charges.
Don't you think that? I don't know how that was resolved.
Don't be too satirical, authors, when you're putting down
shouldn't
other authors.
That sounds like a case that would have been thrown out of court to me.
Yeah,
I mean, it should have been, right? Silly, willful.
And we shouldn't forget, because when Bob talked about family being the first definition of feud, wasn't there a television game show called Family Feud? Or am I making that up?
Sure was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
they had a theme song, but we're not going to play it.
Why not?
We had a version of that on Sesame Street called Family Food, in which a Muppet vegetables would argue with each other.
Survey says, yes.
Oh, that was one song.
Was there a song? Did they sing a song with it? You never wrote a song for that?
I think it was a theme song, but I don't remember it.
Carrots, broccoli, carrots, broccoli.
Yeah.
The Muppets had a song, they did?
Oh, there was probably a theme song for Family Food on Sesame Street, but I don't remember it if there was.
You didn't write it or steal it.
No, neither.
Now, how about, are there more, did Shakespeare have feuds with any of his contemporaries? They were snotty about each other, weren't they?
Didn't Richard III feud with just about everybody? I think so.
He
pretended not to.
Characters here. Yes, he did feud with everybody.
Who was the other
Of course. Wait a minute.
Johnson?
The Capulets, the Montagues,
yes.
And the Capulets.
Yeah,
that was a huge feud. There you have a feud. Yeah.
The most productive feud of all time.
That's basically in-laws. Every family has Capulets and the other people.
There would be no West Side Story
today. Precisely, if there weren't that feud. And they expanded
The Sharks and the Jets were feuding.
Exactly.
They were gangs, not families. But of course, the gangs considered themselves families.
But Maria and
they were your
what
family.
What was Maria's
and
boyfriend?
And Tony. Oh yeah.
Tony. Tony's family and her family. They were like family. Yeah. That was the breakthrough between Amulets and Capulets. I mean,
omelets.
Omelets.
Yes, the omelets.
Egg them on.
The amulets and the capsules.
There you go.
Well, anyway, the polite version
of
Jets versus somebody else is a sports feud.
Sports feud?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Give us an example of one of those.
And, of course, on the college level, we have things like Harvard versus Yale.
Yes, exactly.
Yes,
there you go.
Exactly.
Fight fiercely, Harvard. Fight, fight, fight. Demonstrate to them our skill. Albeit they possess the might, nonetheless, we have the will. How we will celebrate our victory. We shall invite the whole team up for tea. How jolly, hurl that spheroid down the field and fight, fight, fight. Fight fiercely, Harvard. Fight, fight, fight. Impress them with our prowess, do. Oh, fellows, do not let the crimson down. Be of stout heart and true. Come on, chaps, fight for Harvard's glorious name. Won't it be peachy if we win the game? Oh, goody, let's try not to injure them. But fight, fight, fight. Let's not be rough, though. Fight, fight, fight. And do fight fiercely. Fight, fight, fight.
Well, that was Tom Lehrer. It wasn't Al Dubin.
From his very first album.
Now, on the campuses of these colleges, were you aware that there was a feud, or was it all so gentlemanly as he made
there
it out?
There were rivalries.
Rivalries, isn't it?
I don't think it was quite as gentlemanly as Mr. Lehrer wrote it, but you wanted to win, but I don't think it was a blood feud.
Well, but you didn't want to break anything either. You might need your...
Well, he was right about
especially
that.
Especially your brain. So, you know, you didn't want to ruin your brains if you were...
But eventually it became Harvard and Yale against everybody else, I think.
Really?
When the hatred of elitists started again. Yeah.
I see. What do you mean started again? It was back then, right?
Well, I mean... It's back in.
Oh, it's back in really back now. Back now, yeah. I see hatred of elitists. Yeah. Well, I went to a Big Ten school, so everybody was raring to go to fight, you know, and to be the best and what all. And they all had such great songs, you know. They had real songs.
Like in British football teams, people really do fight.
Yeah, they do.
And they go and kill each other after the game.
That's right.
Instead of just enjoying some good fun at the stadium.
Now, why do you suppose that is? Does it hop you up more to...
Alcohol has something to do with it.
Wow. Yeah.
Alcohol has a lot to do with feuding.
They were originally throwing full beer cans in a certain stadium around New York here.
Oh, that was ugly.
Yeah.
That was very ugly.
Sometimes the fans get over excited. Because I remember my mother told me once that she hated Philadelphia and everyone who lived there. And I said, why is that, Mother? And because they eliminated the Pittsburgh Pirates from the playoffs that year. And she meant it. She ate everyone in Philadelphia. And Philadelphia cream cheese, for that matter, probably.
Really? What kind of cream cheese did you eat?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't living there. I was an adult myself at this point. Not that big a fan of the Pirates or anybody that I would hope everyone would die or whatever. Hated all of them from the city that eliminated them.
Right. So, could we say... Yeah,
I was just going to ask if we can consider that Donald J. Trump is feuding with democracy at the moment. Certainly not feuding.
Feuding with absolutely everyone who opposed him about anything. including anyone who likes democracy, I guess. Yeah.
But it's easy to have him make up with you. All you have to do is.
Kiss him.
Kiss him. Yeah, that's all you have to do.
It worked for Kevin McCarthy. It may not work for everybody.
No, I thought it worked for lots of people, and then until he got them later.
Yeah, a lot of people denounced him, and then they decided, well, not so much, maybe. Yeah.
He slid back into favor. He's the only one we got,
and everyone loves him, so,
I don't know.
He may be into the fake feud, too. He may be into the fake feud, which is professional wrestling territory.
Oh, yeah, right.
Where it's all scripted.
Sure.
It's really interesting. Not enough has been made of that, I think, that Trump has a lot of background with the World Wrestling
Federation.
That's
right. So he does.
And Linda McMahon was in his cabinet, who was co-owner of wrestling for a while.
What the heck cabinet?
And I think a lot of his style came from that.
What position did that cabinet member have?
She was Secretary of Labor or Commerce, I guess. Was it Commerce? You remember?
Well, he liked to feud.
Linda McMahon, who was married to Vince McMahon, and the two of them, I think, were the head of the World Wrestling Federation.
Amazing, but not.
Yeah.
Not that big a surprise if you think about it. Yeah, no, he liked fighting. He likes fighting. And.
But the whole style of. Wrestling fighting
it's all like bravado
is
fake.
Very much the style that he uses.
Right, fake. What, fake moves? They really know how to fall over each other, though.
Yeah, right.
So how often do they get hurt since it's so fake?
They get hurt because it's dangerous jumping off the top of the ropes and things, but they don't hurt each other much.
Well, when a fighter gets too, I don't know, deranged to fight anymore, and they put him out to pasture and he becomes a wrestler... What are the skills needed on the scale of...
Well, you have to be athletic. I mean, it's a physical performance that requires a lot of dexterity. And you have to be a good actor of a certain kind.
Right.
To
So wouldn't it be...
Make your big announcement before and after the fight.
Wouldn't it be harder to be a wrestler than it would be to be a fighter since it involves all kinds of acting? A boxer. I mean, what did I call him?
A fighter. They're both fighters.
They're both fighters. But wouldn't it be harder to be a wrestler?
It's a different skill.
It's different skill.
Why didn't they, a boxer who become a teacher or something, wouldn't that have been?
Well, a boxer could really get killed in the ring, whereas a wrestler probably wouldn't.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Well,
that would be
it. It's one of the things.
There are chokeholds and so forth. You could die from that. But
if it were real.
Yeah. I used to call it a half Nelson and a full Nelson.
College wrestling, you could really get hurt because that's legit.
Yeah.
Did anybody present ever do college wrestling?
I watched it once.
You did?
I thought it was extremely boring because I had originally seen live, fake wrestling. which was exciting.
It was much more fun.
Which
was
people
fun.
Bouncing off the ropes and all that. College wrestling, they like lie on the ground and hug each other, and you sit there and look at it like, what the hell's going on?
Well, what is going on?
I don't know. They're putting on different holds.
He just
holds
told you.
And, you know.
Two guys lying on the ground hugging each other.
Okay, I got it. So we don't know whether.
John Irving liked it.
That's right, he did. He was. Did he ever have any feuds as a writer? John Irving, did he fight with any writers?
I'm not aware of
that. Norman Mailer did, and he
liked
boxing anyway. I don't think he was into wrestling. How many people did Norman Mailer fight with?
Well,
everybody.
Well,
but
now that you mention Norman Mailer, was Norman Mailer, did he feud with William Buckley? Was that a feud?
Yes. I think it was a real one.
Yeah.
I think he really had.
I think it may have been.
With Buckley, yeah.
Buckley.
And Gore Vidal. How about that one, yeah.
I think that was.
Right.
I mean, that sounds to me
that
like.
That was name calling and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Gore Vidal liked to feud.
I think Gore Vidal loved feuding.
He really enjoyed it. Because he could use all his toppers against his enemies. He was wittier, usually, than they were. He had one with Mailer, too, didn't he?
Yeah, it seems like it.
We're
going to look these things up in Wikipedia.
Well, we don't know we're going to talk about them.
That's true.
That's the essence of the hour of lateral thinking. By the way, which is what you're listening to if you're still listening. Or maybe
wait
we're
a
off
minute.
There
they're not listening. What are you talking to them for?
Of course they're
don't
still
talk
listening.
To the people who aren't listening.
They may be wrestling.
Okay.
Or they might be saying,
any radio show that exists, we can do better than them.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Anything you can be, I can be greater. Sooner or later, I'm greater than you.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I can shoot a partridge with a single cartridge.
I can get a sparrow with a bow and arrow.
I can live on bread and cheese.
And only on that?
Yes.
So can a rat.
Any note you can reach, I can go higher.
I can sing anything higher than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can.
Yes, I can.
No, you can.
Yes, I can. Anything you can buy, I can buy cheaper. I can buy anything cheaper than you.
50 cents.
40 cents.
30 cents.
20 cents.
No, you can.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Anything you can say, I can say softer.
I can say anything softer than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
I can drink my liquor faster than a flicker.
I can drink it quicker and get even sicker.
I can open any safe
without getting caught.
Sure.
That's what I thought, you crook.
Any note you can hold, I can hold longer.
I can hold any note longer than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you
can't. Wear, I can wear better. In what you wear, I'd look better than you.
In my coat.
In your vest.
In my shoes.
In your hat.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Anything you can say faster.
I can say anything faster than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, can.
I can.
Yes, can.
I can.
Yes, can.
I can. I can jump a hurdle.
I can wear a girdle.
I can knit a sweater.
I can fill it better.
I can do most anything.
Can you make a pie?
No.
Neither can I.
Any note you can sing, I can sing sweeter.
I can sing anything sweeter than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes,
brilliant. That was a song by Irving Berlin, as sung by Betty Hutton and Howard Keel from the movie version of Annie Get Your Gun. So that's a contest. That's a feud. That's a battle of the sexes. A lot of movies have been made that are about the battles of the sexes. Am I right?
Are you ever?
Yeah.
Well, how about that Spencer Tracy Kevin Hickman thing where they in a trial situation?
Yeah, yeah.
Where she's defending the woman who shot her husband.
Right.
Or shot her, whatever she. Yes, and then Tom Ewell was, and then like that one. What was that called?
But thinking of movie people, didn't Betty Davis and Joan Crawford have a famous? Didn't they feud, or were they just
right during the making of whatever happened to Baby Jane? I think that
Baby Jane.
I don't know if it preceded the making of the film, but once they got it on it, well, it was about a kind of feud between sisters. So it really sprung from.
Did they have a real feud, or was it just in the movie?
I think they had a real feud too. Yeah. Mm. Well, Mommy Dearest, you know, I mean, could you get along with that woman? Not if you were Betty Davis.
Betty Davis.
Tough cookie. The woman who said growing old isn't for sissies. Boy, is she right about that one.
You wouldn't feud with her about that.
No, I wouldn't have a feud with her about that or anything, really. She seemed like a lovely person not to have a feud with. Yeah. So, but also Rock Hudson and Doris Day, they had that same kind of a, you know, what is it?
In a movie. They love each
in
other.
In their movies. I think Doris Day still, who only died within the last year, always maintained that she was crazy about Rock. They were really good friends.
No, they weren't really.
Oh, yeah.
That's what made the comedy. Well, neither were Katharine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy feuding, really.
Although that's true, they feuded in their movies.
Yeah, that was only in their movies. But that's that. Yeah, that's that. Battle
I mean, the characters
thing.
They played, feuded. Right. Adam's Rib, that's it.
Right.
In which Adam's they're both Rib. Lawyers.
Woman of the Year.
Right. That's right, yeah. That one.
Usually where the woman did it excelled at something and the man couldn't stand it. Well, that's not a feud
woman
any
of
us are likely to have, is it? Is it? One person doesn't answer. No.
Well, I missed the question.
The question was, I forget the question. What? It's about the battle of the sexes.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. The woman always wins.
The woman usually wins in the movie.
Somehow
not
this makes.
In real life.
This makes me. We've mentioned the Beatles, but it makes me think about many rock groups. At some point, they just break up because they're feuding and they don't get along.
I mean, they hate each other's guts, and finally they say...
I suppose if you're in a bus every day and night for 10 years and taking a lot of drugs, that
could
happen.
Yeah.
And I think not only it can happen, it did happen.
It did. Which groups were disbanded because of a feud from within?
Well, a whole lot of them.
Oh, well, did they... did it last after... Did they ever get together again? And like,
sometimes
well,
when
John
they get elected...
Well, John and Yoko left...
When John and Yoko left, they all got along?
No, I'm saying John and Yoko left.
Well, but they were all going to leave.
The Beatles broke up
they
over some of that.
Kind of were done with each other for a while. I think if you see the latest
By 1970, which is only 52 years ago now, they really disbanded the last album that they made together. And I think much of it was because... Lennon had Yoko was I think it sounds as if she was dictating a lot of what was going on.
No, I don't think so. Didn't you see the 15 hour version of Let It Be?
But certainly Yoko's presence did not help John's and Paul's relationship. That I think we could all agree on. And Linda Eastman, John.
Somebody didn't see Let It Be, the revised version, which sort of disclaims most of this stuff. That was like they were all tired of each other and they wanted to move on, really. And it just was in the.
And George Harrison. Who was brilliant, wanted a chance to shine. Because they never really gave it to him in the group.
And John was more in love with Yoko at the time than he was with Paul. And same with Paul. And Paul was more in love with the lawyer that was his wife's father. It was very intricate. But I don't
know.
Well,
John Eastman in the news now?
Is that the same guy?
Linda Eastman's brother?
I hope it is not. No, because it's 50 years ago. But it might be the same family.
The Eastman family.
But it's not. That was the Eastman Kodak family that Paul
married into. Really? Wow.
I don't think the John Eastman that's in the Trump sphere is related to them, but I could be wrong.
I probably am wrong. And, of course, Linda McCartney, but Linda Eastman was a photographer. That's how they met.
Right.
She came to take the Beatles pictures. Mm-hmm. And she took a good snapshot of Paul, that he liked.
And then she died.
And then she died.
Not right away.
Not right away.
There were a few things in between. Yeah.
He had some children, whatnot. And then he got married frivolously a few more times. I think two more times.
Okay.
Well, I think his current one lasted, and he's not even feuding with her. You don't really feud until you have a divorce, I think.
I think the one who was smart, who just never feuded, was Ringo Starr, and he's probably living the best life of any of them.
Hmm. Right.
He's just took the money and ran.
He was happy.
Charlie Watts with the Stones.
The same thing.
Just had a great life.
Until he didn't.
Didn't get involved in all
Showed
that
up, show. Played the drums, went home, took the money. Yeah.
And did he ever sit in with jazz bands and stuff, Charlie Watts? Was that really part of it?
I think he
musical
did.
Musical taste was different from the Rolling Stones.
At one point, he recorded a big band album with his own big band.
No kidding. Did he have any,
any
feuds with the people in that band? No, I guess if you're the leader, you don't try to feud with your players. Mm.
You know, when I saw the Rolling Stones at Larry Josephson's place, they didn't feud with each other. Partly because...
Well, they must have liked each other somewhat because they've been together for 60 years or so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most groups don't last one-tenth that long.
They don't ride in a bus either, do they? That may have a lot to do with it.
Well, I guess when you have a plane, you get along.
Yeah, right. Much more comfortable.
My advice to budding rock stars
is
get a plane, get
someone to front you with a plane. Maybe Donald Trump has some leftovers. Oh, don't go to him. Mm-mm. My advice to a young rock group: don't mess around with Donald Trump.
You know? Yeah, he has no taste in music.
We had a rather famous drummer whose name I won't mention living next door to us in Springs, and he and his wife weren't getting along, so he went to live in his old rock trailer, which was parked on his lawn for a while.
And the wife stayed on the premises?
I stayed in the house, from what I understand.
How long did that last?
We didn't really get to know exactly what was happening, but that seems to be what
That
was
seems happening. To be a consummate feud, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of, like, hosing the other person's trailer and stuff. Yeah. Well, you've been listening to The Hour of Lateral Thinking. On this show, you heard us with Chris Cerf, David Finkel, and Maggie Paley discuss feuds.
This program originates from 5 neighborhoods in New York.
In one of them, our radio engineer and musical perpetrator is Bob Auld, with special thanks to Dorothy Shea, Tom Lehrer, and Betty Hutton and Howard Keel. You can reach us at catradiocafe@gmail.com or on Facebook or Twitter at catradiocafe. I'm Janet Coleman.
I'm David Dozer.
The Displaced Playwright.
This has been a production of Cat Radio Cafe.
The feline's favorite radio empire.
And remember our slogan.
Cats feud with other cats over territory, food, and who gets to ride the giraffe.